According to U.S. Census figures, 54% of Seattle households are rentals. Yesterday, the mayor's Housing Affordability Committee released their recommendations for Seattle with one major goal: increase the supply of affordable housing in Seattle. But what does this plan mean for renters? For one perspective, we called up real estate investor and pundit Richard Hagar.
Go back to the basics. It's economics 101 of supply and demand. You have a lot of people coming into this city. They're banging at the gates trying to make it. And the more housing units that you can create, the better it is. Even if it's at the upper end, eventually people can oversaturate some of those markets, and the result is they have to lower their rates to make it more affordable to get those units rented. But clearly, if you can come up with some patterns or some abilities to build moderate and lower income, it is beneficial.
Vancouver, Canada has high rises. They built a lot more units going up, and the rents there are extremely high. Does that prove a counterexample to what you're asserting here?
Not really, because you're also dealing with different housing policies and different mortgages and different lending policies that go across. The more often that you can bring units in, again, for whatever reason, the better it's going to be. There are a lot of people that have basements that could be turned into an ADU or a duplex, if you will, as long as the family lives there. You have garage spaces detached off the alley that could be converted fairly quickly by homeowners, allowing them to create some of this. So if government can encourage some of these things, it's far better than tax and spend, and the consumers can react a little bit quicker than the government can.
Doesn't this plan do that, allow more duplexes, allow more accessory housing?
Yes. And I think that's one of the positives. It is a recommendation for that, is that they want to have more attached and detached housing units. And I think that would be very good. Think of, like in Phoenix, they have a lot of what they call casitas, where there is a mother-in-law or accessory dwelling unit connected to the house, mom lives there, and then if mom passes on, now you've got that housing unit that the homeowner could rent out to someone else. That could be done instantly. You can have these middle-class people have another source of income, and it allows for some moderate increase in density without really doing a lot of negative. And besides, it can increase the property values, which in turn increases the property taxes that are paid to the governments.
Richard, some advocates are disappointed that the Housing Affordability Plan doesn't include rent control. They think that would have been a solution to high rents here. What do you say?
It is not a solution. It never has been a solution. The cities who have it end up being very convoluted. Welcome to San Francisco. Rent control does not solve any problems whatsoever. What you need to do is let the market forces build more units and come up with some methodology of doing that, because supply and demand come back into play. If you start to have government tweak with those things, historically it is not something that works very beneficial.
Richard, I know some renters who feel as though they're going to have to leave the city soon because rents have been going up so quickly. What's going to happen in 5 or 10 years for renters who are worried that they just might be priced out?
Well, this is the same argument I have heard and cry for help that I've heard 75, 85, 95, 2005. People are complaining that rents are going up. Clearly it's going up. And we come back to supply and demand. You have so many people trying to move to the state of Washington and Seattle because of our economy. That is not going to stop. So trying to put your hand up and stop the tides from washing in is kind of foolish. You are going to see some people that are simply priced out. Clearly, it's going to happen. Is it the goal? No. But that is something that happens when you have people move into an area. One of the suggestions that I'd come up with is, how about we encourage more industry, more corporations to move to, like, Everett or Renton, Tacoma? Those are areas that could absorb a lot more growth and do it very easily. I bet you Everett could absorb 125,000 people immediately because they have a very nice downtown core that is underutilized. So, you know, as prices go up, people are forced out. It is that unfortunate thing that has always happened.
The core of this committee in its name is affordability. Are you kind of conceding that it's not going to be affordable for people?
It's not. I mean, they can try, but, you know, again, the report that I'm looking at, it could be similar to a report drawn 20, 30 years ago. It could be similar to reports I've seen in Chicago, New York, Atlanta. It's nothing overly new. It is the problem. We do not have enough low-income and middle-income housing. It is what is happening because of the demand. And because of the people are here, some of the richest in the United States. So you're going to see this separation more and more. Will it work? No. Is it a nice path and goal? Sure. But are you going to see any massive changes because of it? Probably not.
Bottom line, do you like this plan?
It's just another plan. How much of it makes it through the government and moves through, that's nice. And again, I dislike it from the fact of let's raise taxes, and let's spend it on the poor. I do like the plan where it says let's increase density in urban villages and certain areas. I do like that.
One perspective on the housing affordability plan from local real estate expert Richard Hagar. Tomorrow, we're going to hear from a renter advocate to get their views on those recommendations and what they mean for renters in Seattle.